Oh, hi, podcast listeners. There's many ways you can listen to the Real Nerds Podcast. You can subscribe on iTunes. You can also subscribe on Stitcher Radio. You want to send us a Twitter message? You can do that. It's so easy, at Real Nerds. Like us on Facebook, Real Nerds Podcast. You can visit our website, realnerdspodcast.com, where there'll be a lot of articles for you to not only read, but to listen to our previous shows. Do you like your stories told through pictures? Then you can also follow us at Real Nerds on Instagram. You can also call us, 720-6NERDS5. Thanks for listening and enjoy the show.
You are listening to Real Nerds Podcast, the greatest podcast in all of the internet. I am Ryan. I am joined by my buddy, Brad.
What was that, podcast? What are you, Pocknikod and Javiad?
Yeah, you didn't know? Podcast is really hot. Minion. Every week we see a new movie and we podcast our experience to the world. This week, it was Ghostbusters, Frozen Empire. Stay tuned. We'll recommend the film or not. Play the trailer, then spoil the film. We also talk about movie news and stuff we've watched throughout the week. Brad, we're a week older, a week wiser. Any new wisdom you want to impart on me and our listeners?
Yeah, Tommy Wiseau says you should always podcast with your heart.
I did not podcast. I did not.
You're tearing me a podcast.
hi, podcast. I was on Blu-ray.com and they reviewed the Blu-ray for the first time like 2 days ago.
The Room Blu-ray?
Yeah.
I don't know if I remember if I've cracked into it yet or not.
The reviewer was so funny. He said, like at the end, because they always say if they recommend, buying the Blu-ray or not. He said, I don't know if I can recommend buying the Blu-ray or not, but it almost seems like it has to be a Blu-ray every film fan owns because it's so fucking bizarre.
Agreed.
Yeah, it's I still can't even get over that movie watching it.
You don't have to get over it. You just have to accept it into your heart.
I know. You know, that might have to be one of the Esquire screenings I go to just because.
You've only got three left, so.
Yep. Tearing me apart, Brad!
Yeah, you really should have gone to the Greg Sestero one so you could see, the other side of the other perspective of, someone who was on set who isn't out of his mind.
It's so funny, too, in the review on Blu-ray.com, he says, and the kid Denny randomly shows up, and the only thing that seems missing is a laugh track from a sitcom. I mean,
it really does.
Yeah, I was just laughing because the screening we went to, everybody goes, Denny! Like Norm from Cheers. And
yep.
It's just so appropriate. Someone who's not even, obviously the reviewer hasn't seen it live or anything, but for him to notice those things is just really funny.
Yeah, at least I just came by to borrow a cup of sugar. Like,
what?
Cup of sugar? Next time I see it, I want to yell out at the end, like, who's going to pay for Denny's college? Now that Tommy's dead.
Yeah. What drug did you do, Denny? Just tell me.
It's not a big deal. Stop.
Well, Johnny took Denny in as an orphan and's paying for his college. He wants to adopt him. Wait a minute. Isn't he 18?
Yeah. He's in college, right?
So, yeah, The Room. You should go see it at the Esquire. Because, like we said last week, it closes in July and still has the best movie popcorn, I think.
It does, doesn't it?
Yeah. It's something about it. I don't know what it is. that place was the Esquire is the first place where I fell in love with the Colonel Seasons popcorn flavorings. Because they used to have where you could just, they'd be like on the side. I mean, COVID changed it, but they would just have a bunch of seasonings after you bought the popcorn you could, you know, sprinkle on.
Yeah.
But, you know.
What I got is Cards Against Humanity did a clam and A's popcorn flavor sprinkle with like mm-hmm. some cards you bought. So I've been dumping that on a couple batches I've gotten. Yeah. It's not bad. It'd probably kill you, but.
But, you know,
yeah,
maybe something they're worth dying for.
But I was surprised how, like, I don't know, kind of sweet it tastes. I thought it'd be more, I thought it'd be saltier.
This so, yeah. week on Real Nerds, we saw Ghostbusters, Frozen Empire. Brad, you recommend the latest Journey to New York City?
This is a tough one because I, you know, going into it, I really thought it would be, this is going to be something special, and it's not a bad movie. Like it's kind of felt kind of mid for me, but it's just really frustrating when it just doesn't seem like this franchise can go anywhere because they seem a little tepid to try anything new or dig any deeper into the lore beyond like the first movie. So yeah, it's just like, you know, it's just another entry that I didn't really care about by the end. And, I was really frustrated that a lot of stuff in the trailer is not in the final movie.
Yeah, I noticed that too.
Yeah, and it takes so long to actually get to the Frozen Empire. yeah, it's like it's not terrible, but it's just like, this could be so much better, and it's not going to be because a certain segment of the fan base is just going to complain about everything.
Yeah, I had fun with the movie. I think it's a fun movie. There's a couple things I think that you hold it back, and you alluded to some of them. When we get to the review part, I'll mention some of the things that kind of tripped it up for me. But I mean, the effects are really cool in it. I like Paul Rudd's character a lot. And it's still a fun time at the movies. And I think, you know, I took my family went and saw it, and they really liked it. So it's a fun kind of family horror film, if that makes any sense.
Yeah.
Here's the trailer for Ghostbusters Frozen Empire.
For the first time in New York history, a room full of people froze to death in July.
If it's an unimaginable evil, it's the power to kill by fear itself.
Like, literally scared to death?
Now it's headed straight for us.
Is something trying to get out?
Many things.
It's commanding an army of the undead.
I think we're all going to die.
Hold on to your ass!
This could bring about the end of humankind.
So we pick up pretty much right where Afterlife ended. The Spanglers have made it back to New York City and are out of the firehouse and causing damage and havoc in the streets of New York right off the bat. And it catches the eye again of the officials of New York, and they want to shut the Ghostbusters down. But we also learned that... Yeah.
Go ahead, I was going to say, like, hey, like, remember that scene where they talked to the mayor in the first movie? Well, it happens again, but it's that other guy who was a dick in the first one.
Yeah. So Ray is there, and he procures supernatural things that he now takes to Winston's super secret ghost lab where they're trying to understand ghosts more. And the whole premise of the film is set up by this orb that inhabits this supernatural being that wants to basically freeze people to death. And it's up to the Ghostbusters to stop them.
Yeah. We didn't mention is like the movie actually starts out really cool with like this flashback to like early 1900s New York.
Yeah, I was like, gonna say that like the opening is pretty actually kind of terrifying too.
Yeah, I was like, oh, this is a good start. Yeah, you see like this fire, like old timey fire truck go to this hotel, and there's like this conference room with a bunch of like rich people that got frozen over. And yeah, they find that orb, and then it kind of flashes forward to modern day where, you know, the new Ghostbusters are touring around trying to capture a ghost in the Ecto-1, and yeah, like you said, causing a ton of havoc. And Phoebe's like so like confident about her abilities that, you know, she is kind of blind to the devastation she's creating.
Yeah.
And that's what gets her in trouble. So that when they go to the mayor, he's like, this kid is not 18, like, who approved this? And like, it's just, it's like one more thing on the his quest to like, shut down the Ghostbusters entirely. So she gets sidelined.
Yeah. And, so yeah, you learn that there's this ancient demon who actually think the character design is pretty cool. With the horns and, things like that. And, you know, I can't remember its name. It's like Garuku?
Garuka or something?
Yeah.
I think it's Garuka.
Yeah, that sounds about right. So the whole movie's setting it up, and, you know, the little Stay Puft guys show up again, and they're really funny. But yeah, it seems, as you watch it too, there seems like there's plot threads that don't follow through sometimes.
Yeah, because the movie has like 20 billion characters in it, and they all have to have some kind of screen time.
Yeah, and that's going to be one of my complaints is, I think Dan Aykroyd is great in the movie. He's invested.
I think like him and Winston probably should have been the only Ghostbusters, like original Ghost. Like Winston should have been like, okay, he's the guy who's got like Ghostbusters Plus going on over here. They're doing like extra research. They're the behind the scenes guys. And then there's the firehouse guys. And like Ray should have just been like, it should have been like Phoebe just like goes on a trip with Ray to like solve all this stuff. And maybe the brother comes along, but the brother gets sidelined, just like gets slimed by Slimer, who's just up in the attic, and it never goes anywhere. Like Slimer's just up there eating snacks.
Eats the other ghost.
I guess that's true. Yeah.
But you know, because that's my complaint is just like, the Ghostbusters from 2016, it seems like Bill Murray doesn't want to be in the movies. So stop putting him in them.
Yeah.
Because he has that scene. Why is he wearing sunglasses out of nowhere? Just because?
Just because. And yeah, they bring him back for earlier to recreate that mind reading scene from the original movie. Like so much of this movie is just like, hey, we brought that thing you liked from the first movie back and it's updated. And here it is again updated, and here it is again updated, and just like none of it pertains to like the center of the movie, which is Phoebe can't be a Ghostbuster, and now she's alone and frustrated, and like I like even she has like this plot thread of like meeting a new friend, a ghost friend, and you're like, oh, I didn't realize she was lonely, like
yeah, and which would be a really fun if that was just part of the movie, and you know. I think it's interesting that the ghost would play chess with her and she just wants to be accepted.
That was a really cool scene because I thought it was like her connecting with Egon again as a ghost and like, oh, cool. This franchise is going to have like Egon as a, like, you'll maybe never see him visually, but he'll always be like this, you know, helper, like with her, like all the time.
Yeah. And it's hard because, you know, I do love the franchise and I have fun watching it. But there's even parts where, other girl's name? Lucky? That I totally forgot was other movie.
Yep.
And then she's kind of shoehorned in.
Yeah, she doesn't have a lot to do. It is cool that Podcast was like a protege of Ray, like helping him be like updated for TikTok and everything. Yeah.
And I think the funniest person was Kumail Nanjiani. I have to read his name to pronounce it right.
Kumail Nanjiani.
Thank you. I thought he was really fun in it. But yeah, I don't know. And I like Bill Murray in movies, but you can tell I don't think he wants to be in Ghostbuster movies. So don't put him in them.
Yeah. I mean, it seemed like he was present for it for me, but like it just felt like such fan service. Like he didn't, he just shows up. Like there's no real story necessity for him to be there. And by the end, like they're all there and you're just like, this just seems like overkill.
Like, yeah, I always refer to Spider-Man No Way Home as the right way to do fan service, where every character in that serves a purpose to propel the plot. And this one, it just seems, oh, remember them from another Ghostbusters? And like I said, it's hard because I did enjoy the movie, but
yeah,
I'm not in your boat where I wanted it to be more, I guess.
Like there's so much potential and like it just,
yeah,
it's bogged down by like, well, if we don't have this in here, fans are going to be pissed off. So, you know, include this. And yeah, it just feels like, cause like I said, like in the trailer, the four main Ghostbusters, they're never in those red, winter coats. Like,
nope.
Winston's guys are in the lab, but out in the snow where they actually need them, they're all wearing the classic uniforms. I'm just like, well, that's a scene that was reshaped from something else. Like what? It definitely feels like they got into the editing thing and said, like, you know, we had a good story, but someone said, like, well, no, we have to have Bill Murray in here, so change the story to fit that. Yeah, Melnitz is back, but she doesn't get to do anything either. Like, she's just there.
Yeah, because for there's a couple even lines. That scene in the trailer where they're all in those red outfits on the roof, and Paul Rudd says, oh, that's awesome.
Yeah.
That's not in it. And I was looking on Blu-ray.com, they already have the steelbook, and it's all them in like the red suits.
Yeah. It's like there's another movie out there, and it feels like they changed a bunch of stuff at the last minute. In 2/3 of the movie, it's just them going to different people talking about the legend of the orb and Garaka, and then New York doesn't even freeze over until the finale of the movie. Yeah. So very little Frozen Empire in it. Yeah, like if you broke this down into its most essential parts, like it could have been Phoebe's story and Ray's story. Cause with that scene with Winston, where he's talking to Winston, it definitely feels like there might have been a bigger arc of like Ray just feeling like he's missed out, almost like a world's end type arc where he wants the Ghostbusters to be back together, but it's just not going to happen. So.
Yeah, I agree. And there's some of the payoffs too, you know, in the library, Ray is attacked by the ghost from the first one, but it ends so abruptly.
Yeah. That's another, like, well, I guess we're in a library. So we got to with Ray. So we got to recreate that scene. Like didn't need to be there. They could just run out. And again, that library, it's got the lions from the first movie on it. Of course they have to come to life. Mm-hmm. I mean, that was in the trailer, but like, The whole Patton Oswalt scene is, again, just like another, here's the secret lore of, like, instead of anyone actually, like, proactively discovering anything, they just talk to other people and they just tell you a story. And it's just like, oh my God. Like, between Ray and Kumail doing that, and then, going to Patton's characters, it's like, oh my God, I get it. This is like an ancient dude. but, you know, some of those scenes were still funny. It's just like, it just seems like it could be whittled down to its essential parts and streamlined, and actually, like, I just, you know, it'd just be great to see some new stuff, because the stuff, new stuff we were promised in the trailer didn't even happen. Yeah,
but you know, there's even some fun things where Phoebe gets thrown in jail, and Paul Rudd has that line. He goes, "Wow, I didn't think you're going to choose this one."
Yeah, like there's really funny stuff where, like, she's, you know, off camera swearing profusely, and then there's like another weird part where she just nonchalantly, like, oh yeah, I'll just jump into this machine and have my soul sucked out.
Yeah.
No big deal. No one else has done it before. So why not me? And it goes perfectly fine. Yeah. And then that room has like all those other ghosts that, other than the one that like shoots out and is like a red specter.
Yeah.
Like none of those really figure into anything.
Mm-mm. Even that one they kind of set up who was really menacing looking.
Yeah.
He pokes his head out, but then he goes back in his like cage, and I don't know why.
Yeah, with that red one being out, there could have been like way more possessive stuff. And that's another thing is like there weren't a lot of ghosts in the movie.
Yeah.
There's like the right. Barracuda one. The Ecto-1 gets possessed but doesn't really like, do anything. You know, obviously there's Garaka and then the Melody, the, you know, totally normal, like that's like of all the ghosts we've seen in Ghostbusters lore, that's the only one that's like not like deformed or weird. This is like a normal girl who burned down her house. All right.
Yep.
Yeah, it's just I just want more out of it. Well, more or less stuff.
Yeah.
Like I was thinking, like, you know, they had the whole thing with the science ghost, like behind the scenes Ghostbusters and the frontline Ghostbusters. Like, what if there was just like a competing ghost company entirely that they were
Ghost Trappers?
Yes, exactly. Like they have a podcast. They talk about the ghosts they trap.
Yes.
It's three dudes instead of four.
Yeah, you know, I would almost like them to. I mean, obviously, it's a response too, because they're 2016 Ghostbusters, because they tried something new and everybody hated it because it was women.
Yeah,
but that one had tons of ghosts in it, and it was different. I would almost like them to go maybe a little darker. And I know it's, you know, aim a little bit towards kids, but most of the people have grown up now. I'd make it a little more sinister, and I don't know. Just how I feel.
Yeah, no, agreed. Like, it could actually use a little more scares.
Yeah.
For me. Like, Garak is menacing, but again, not the big level threat at the end that I thought it was going to be. Especially since, like, he immediately freezes, like, all nine of the Ghostbusters and just fights Phoebe. It's like, oh, okay.
Yeah.
I thought he was going to, like, kaiju it through New York, but nope.
Which would have been badass, just him picking up people and ripping them in half or some shit.
Yeah. People getting spiked on those icicles.
Yeah. You could make it PG-13. You could have them pick up people and freeze them and then just like rip them into little ice pieces.
Yeah. To drop them, they just shatter.
Yeah. Why aren't we in charge?
Yeah.
We go up to the Ghost Corps. Get the fuck out of here.
You guys are done. You're out. But I'm Dan Aykroyd. Get the fuck out. You're done.
Yeah. So, I mean, I think people should still see it. I think it's fun. But I just wanted a little more, I think is what I came to the conclusion of.
Yeah, me too. That ghost trap popcorn bucket, though, is chef's kiss. It's like, it's so awesome.
Where did you get that at? Is it at Regal or is it AMC's?
I got it at Regal.
Hmm.
Yeah.
Because when I was at the Alamo, they had this, we went on Friday. And they had a bunch of Ecto-1s there, and they had a little thing in the lobby with Ghostbuster stuff, and they had one of those things, popcorn holders there.
Nice. Yeah, I got the pint glass for them. Did you walk through the lobby being like, "Sup, Ghostbusters, I'm a ghost trapper. I'm one of you."
So I saw the movie at 6 p.m. on Friday, and I ordered a pint glass, sold out.
You didn't just pick one up in the lobby?
They didn't have any.
Oh, when I was there, they had a bunch of extras. Guess they.
Did you go to Littleton or Sloan's Lake?
Sloan's.
Yeah, when I was at Sloan's Lake, they just had the 1994 glasses in the lobby.
Dang. Yeah, they must have just cleaned them out before you got there. Because I saw it Thursday night.
Hmm. Lucky.
Yeah, it's just got Slimer on it. It's fine.
Cool. Hey, movie news for the week.
It's real news.
No, no. I didn't see anything.
Yeah. Last week it was the Esquire closing, and that's all that's been on my mind for news. I guess there's a Penguin trailer.
Oh, that's right. Yeah, that was, I mean, Colin Farrell, his transformation is incredible. And the trailer is interesting. It looks like it's just like some kind of crime boss show.
Yeah. It's like, I'm assuming like, yeah, some kind of like mafia-esque crime show. Batman will be in the background somewhere.
Yeah, maybe show up at the end and punch Penguin until his face falls off.
Totally. Professor Pig will show up and cut it off, and then he'll have to like sew it back on Joker style.
Oh, dude, Professor Pig would be an awesome fucking villain for a movie.
Yeah, I mean, definitely closer to the R-rated 7 movie, but yeah.
But I wonder what they're going to do for the Batman, too. It seems they're going to have the Joker. I know.
There's so many other...
What, man?
I heard it was going to be Hush.
That'd be awesome.
It'd be nice to get, like, a la Bane, like a modern villain or something, because, you know...
I mean, I still think... I would love for Clayface to be the villain. I know it's super fantastical, but... having a villain that could change into anybody and Batman doesn't understand why he can't track him, I think would be so cool.
It's in that Matt Reeves universe, it's tough to sell like a supernatural threat. I think Mr. Freeze would be cool. Like, I think you could definitely make that realistic.
Oh, for sure. Yeah. I mean, and especially if you take the animated series story of his wife, him trying to save his wife and, you know.
And if you don't want to like have the fantastical nature of like a ice gun, it could just be a guy who's just like got a cold heart, you know?
Oh,
just
yeah.
Like, emotionless. I mean,
just be a cold blooded killer is how he got his name, Mr. Freeze.
Yep.
Just kills people with no remorse.
Freezes accounts.
Yep.
You could be another.
See, why aren't we in the Batman pitch room?
I know. Like, we're friends with James Gunn. He never like leaves us messages. I don't know what's going on.
I know. What an asshole. I still would love to see Clayface. Like, I one of my favorite two parts ever in the animated series is Feet of Clay. Because I think I think that's like a horror movie, that two-parter. And I don't know. Yeah. Just do it. If Spider-Man can have a Mysterio, Batman can have a Clayface.
True. People believe that. They can believe a Clayface.
Yeah.
Sort of a struggling actor who takes a serum that, transforms him into Clayface.
Or maybe you wouldn't even need him to be like the monster. Maybe he's just like an actor who's able to mold like these incredible masks.
Like a Madame Tussaud or something. Yeah.
Yeah.
Or he just takes a lot of tainted Botox. Like, he's able to like squish his face in weird ways. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. We should be in charge.
I know. Such a missed opportunity.
I know. You listening, Warner Brothers? Hey, we watch films throughout the week in a segment I call What We've Been Watching.
So, this is the stuff we've been watching.
Brad, what'd you watch this week?
Couple things. Probably the most interesting thing is I got to see Death to Smoochie in the theater again.
Whoa. Where was that playing at?
Sloan's Alamo.
Really?
Yeah, not even like an anniversary. It's like 12 years or 22 years old. It's part of their Weird Wednesday series. So obviously, they had the guy come in and introduce it and talk about like, you know, his film theory of everything, of like why it failed in its time and why it should be reclaimed. And I agree. He did point out that it came out like early, like March, 2002. Which is just a couple of months after 9/11. And he's like, you know, when it came out, it got lambasted in reviews as like one of the worst movies ever made. Just like, and like the humor is just like appalling. And, he just kind of pointed out that like maybe we were just like a little extra sensitive to, humor at the time because everyone was so down. You might be right because like, the theater had a ton of people in there. And compared to when I saw it in 2002 to now, this crowd loved it. Like,
really?
Robin Williams crushed like everything he did. Just like people were just gasping, laughing so hard. And even I was like, I've seen it before. And there's parts where I was like, oh my God, this is great. But yeah, if you haven't seen Death to Smoochie, it's, the film guy also pointed out that, like, this is a movie that was probably like 6 years too late, because it was supposed to like parody the Barney craze at the time, which I think it kind of died out by like 98, 99. And so here's this movie in 2002, you know, lampooning Barney as a, Edward Norton plays, Smoochie, or I forget what his actual character name is, but, he's like an earnest, down to earth, guy who wants to help kids, and he creates this persona, Smoochie. And John Stewart is the head of this network, KidsNet, or at least one of the guys in line to be the head of the network. Catherine Keener is like another executive. And Rainbow Randolph, played by Robin Williams, is a corrupt kid show host who gets discovered. He's taking bribes to get kids on the show. And then he's expelled from the show. Smoochie takes over, and he plans a vendetta to kill Smoochie. And meanwhile, Smoochie meets all these other seedy network people who, you know, try to get him to sell sugar and merchandise, and he just won't have it. And so as it goes on, he just kind of exposes the corruption behind the scenes of this KidNet world. And yeah, that's it. And it's really funny along the way as Robin Williams just descends into madness. And all these like connected mob people are like into this kid universe, revenue stream. Yeah, it's really funny and people should watch it. It's really hard to find, on physical media for sure. But it is streaming, I think, on Apple or Amazon. So you can at least stream it, but you have to, yeah, it's not free. It's, you have to buy it. But, yeah.
Yeah. It needs to make back the money it didn't make when it was released.
Yeah. It, the film, we also said it put Film 4 out of business. Because it like cost $50 million, but it only made $5 million in its whole run, so pretty bad.
Wow.
And then the last thing I watched was I've watched all the Ocean's 11 movies, except for the original,
including Ocean's 8.
Not Ocean's 8. I didn't rewatch that one. I'd seen 13 before, but I hadn't seen 11 and 12, and I don't think 12 is that bad. And 11 isn't that interesting as people make it out. They're all kind of the same to me.
Wow.
Really super elaborate heists that I'm just like, everything really hinges on like really minute details that I don't think would possibly be pulled off. But still like a charismatic cast, fun movies that, you know, it's whatever. And then I saw both Now You See Me's, the first one again, the second one for the first time. And yeah,
I don't think I've seen the second one.
Yeah, it's just more nonsense magic, like so specific, like manufactured, like hinges on a very specific thing going off type stuff.
The first one, so yeah. I had no desire to see the second one.
Yeah, and the second one, the tables are turned, because I forgot that Mark Ruffalo isn't just the detective; he's the actual magician who hired them. Mm. And so in the second one, he gets exposed, and then he has to like save the four horsemen from being like exploited by Daniel Radcliffe's character. Yeah. And they put like Morgan Freeman in jail in the first one, and he breaks out and like torments him in the second one.
Hmm.
Yeah. And then, yeah, that's all I watched.
Yeah, I just watched a couple things too. I watched so I'm doing this thing where I have all these Blu-rays I own that I haven't watched. And one I watched this week is a film from 1948 called A Foreign Affair, which I bought on a Kino Lorber. They do a couple times a year where you can get, they have $5.99, $7.99 Blu-rays.
Mm-hmm.
And this was one of them. And it stars, Jean Arthur, who I love, and Marlene Dietrich, who's fun. And in it, Jean Arthur is a congresswoman named Phoebe Frost. So, you know, right away I'm on board. And Marlene Dietrich plays a woman named Erica, who is in Germany after the war. And it's the United States and its allies trying to rebuild Berlin. And Erica is in love with a United States captain, which creates a lot of problems because she also is a Nazi I don't know the right word. I guess an ex-Nazi cafe singer performer. And so she's trying to forget her past. And of course, the captain also falls for this congresswoman named Frost. And it's just a really fun movie. It's really well made. Billy Wilder is a great director and screenwriter. And it was shot in Berlin. Not a lot of movies in that time were on location. So seeing the devastation happening in Berlin, that really looked like in Berlin after World War II, is also kind of shocking. But it is a funny movie and really a really good movie. And I'm glad I blind bought it and watched it. And the only other thing I watched this week is I was at the mall and I went into FYE and they have like just random Blu-rays. And I bought the American Pie board movie set for $12.99 on Blu-ray.
Are those coming out in 4K real soon?
Probably, but
not that they're like need to be 4K.
I don't know if I need to see them in 4K, but I haven't seen the original American Pie in so long. And it's still really funny. There's some moments in it that I forgot about that I used to stay with my friends all the time. I still like Stifler a lot. Of course, now, you know, broadcasting a woman stripping in your room and, you know, live broadcasting it over the internet is a crime. back then, it was innocent and fun.
I was going to say, isn't that just OnlyFans?
Yeah. And, you know, now I can't help again, you know, Jay pops in my head. There he is, that no good pie fucker. Because he fucks pie in it. But yeah, it's still really funny. I had fun watching it. So I'll watch the other ones at some point. And that's all I watched this week.
Right on.
Next week we're doing Godzilla. Is it Godzilla X Kong? How am I supposed to say it?
I think so. It's like that anime thing where it's like, yeah, something times something.
A couple episodes ago when I mentioned that, Corinne wants me to watch this anime called Spy X something. She says you're not supposed to say the X. I don't know what you're supposed to say.
Oh, that's news to me.
Yeah. So maybe when she listens to this, she'll tell me that I'm stupid again and how I'm supposed to say it. Is it Godzilla Cross Kong? I don't know.
Or Godzilla Kong, the new empire?
Yeah, I was going to call it that. Like how I refuse to say Batman v Superman. I'm just going to call it Godzilla Kong, the new empire. Is our film of the week. So, until next week, we'll see you at the movies. A real nerd knows who shot. A real nerd can follow the plot. And a real nerd will give out all the gods. Lights, camera, action.
Thanks for listening to Real Nerds Podcast, a Nebulous Visions production. Stream or download episodes, read articles at realnerdspodcast.com. Stream us on Apple or Google Podcasts, Stitcher, Spotify, or iHeartRadio. Follow us on Facebook, Real Nerds Podcast. Twitter and Instagram, at Real Nerds. Watch us on YouTube, Real Nerds Podcast. Email us at realnerds@gmail.com. Call us at 720-6NERDS5. Thank you to Sparks Mandrill, Mike at Plan 9 Studios, and Bolognium for all of our groovy theme songs. And that's how you fucking do it!